Coming up on Patriots This Week.
We got to start playing better football in the first half.
It may not have been pretty, but the W was beautiful.
It's all about getting a win. There's no moral victories.
In Houston, the second half comeback was spurred by a first-rate effort.
Hand off to the fullback, a leap by Devlin. Bounces off the pile, trying to fight his way in on the left side. Still turning, diving, touchdown, Patriots!
He said boom, 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 boom.
Now it's the Cleveland show, and a flash of a weapon named Gordon.
You get a guy who's 235 pounds and running like he's 35 pounds, I mean, that's definitely a challenge.
So bring it on right now on Patriots This Week.
Hey, blame it on a hangover against the Broncos or blame it on tryptophan because it was Thanksgiving weekend. The Patriots get off to a sputtering start in Houston, but they did what they had to do, and that's win the football game. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Patriots This Week. I'm Scott Zolak, and joining me, as usual, are my two turkeys, resident turkeys. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving. Former tight end Jermaine Wiggins. Wiggy, how you doing?
Zo.
Former linebacker Matt Chatham. Matty, what up?
Good.
All right, guys. 34-31, 2 weeks in a row. They embarrassed the Texans a year ago twice. What do you make of them kind of getting in that little bit of a tractor pull? Start with you, Wiggy.
I don't want to use the word trap game, but it's one of those games, and I think I
just
heard
did.
Yeah, I heard you on the broadcast say...
You got a trap game coming up. Yeah, we'll get to Cleveland. But
I heard you on the broadcast saying, you know, you want to be able to bring your own energy because you're in a stadium where there's not a lot of people there, so you have to find your own energy. And I think the Patriots, at the beginning of the game, didn't really do that. They didn't find their energy. They didn't find their rhythm. And to me, they started slow, and ultimately that determined, you know, how the game played out.
When I look at the Texans, they kind of held serve. They've done what they've done most of the year. I mean, they played. We saw.
They're a good defense.
We saw Seattle on Monday night. How good they looked. Yeah. This team took Seattle overtime and lost by 3 points. So they played them in a close game, and then inevitably couldn't get it done down the stretch, which has really been their MO for the year.
All right, Wiggy. You look at Tom Brady, 11 of 18 in the first half. Tom was not sharp. I thought one of his worst passes of the year was the interception. He kind of floated, tried to force the ball to Gronkowski. Lights it up in the second half, 18 of 23. Why the switch? Why all of a sudden does it just click for this team in the second half?
In the first half, it almost seems like it takes them a while to get Gronkowski involved. At times you see like, well, maybe he doesn't catch his first ball until like the second quarter. Then you kind of see in the second half where it's like, let's get him a little bit more involved. Let's line him up outside, run quick hitches, get him the ball in his hands, put us in situations now. We are second and five, second and four. And I think you start to see that as the game moves on, especially when you get into the second half, you start to see where they say, you know what, we'll take some easy things, get us into some good down and distance, and now we're able to make some plays.
See, looking back to that first game, remember we had the whole 17 targets thing, I felt like they were pressing towards that guy. Now I think Tom's like sort of in that comfort zone.
Picking his spots.
He's going to who gets it. You know, who's open, where the coverage dictates. And more often than not, Gronk is in and up in singled situations. And you don't have to throw it to him unless you get him in that great spot.
Julian Edelman was the open guy. 9 catches over 100 yards again. Seems to be there for Tom Brady on third down. Why is it? Is just coverage dictating that?
The biggest thing with Edelman, in my opinion, is he's basically found his role. He found his niche, and his niche is...
What is that?
I think his niche is, okay, Gronk is the guy we kind of build this thing around, and then I'm a guy that can line up in various spots. I can run the hitches. I can run the tunnel screens, those quick screens. I can run some in-and-out slot stuff, and I think that's what you're starting to see with Edelman is that I think there's more confidence in Edelman than there is Amendola, in my opinion.
I think the best thing about Edelman is his versatility. I think it's a really simple thing. When you look at any other guys you want to compare against, it doesn't have to be Danny Amendola. He lines up in all the spots they have. He can do run and catch. He can catch the ball down the field. He can do really anything you need from him. That's sort of the impetus of his value.
Stephen Ridley, a healthy and active. Shane Vereen at 41 snaps because Ridley had zero. Wiggy, are we at a crossroads with this back?
Yeah, I believe so, and I said this on the radio, in my opinion. You do one or two things. You either play him now or you shut him down for the year, in my opinion, because I feel like once you stop messing with a guy's confidence and their confidence is already shaken, the only way to get that confidence back in that player is to say, okay, we're going to get you back in this game. We're going to give you the football. We're going to see if you can hold on to it. Or you just go the other way and say, the other guys that we have are good enough players that can carry the load.
You think he's fumbling more in practice than anybody knows in this this is what led to it?
Well, I think that's the biggest factor. I mean, we can opine here all day long, right. But what drives this is what happens in practice, and we know that from having been in part of this organization. The stuff we don't see is what dictates who comes to the game.
Sure.
And remember, he was brought on the trip, so I think the decision was made quite late. What I think it indicates is that whether or not it was put on the ground, remember, short week with Thanksgiving, so you know, I don't know how many physical practices to really regain the trust there would have been. What'll be interesting to keep an eye on here is how the role changes, because that'll tell you what's going on behind closed doors if we don't get to see.
All right, we got to talk about the defense, because a lot was made that, oh, it's Swiss cheese, defense can't stop the run. Let's go to Mr. Defense. Matt, you saw this game. How do you break it down, how they played defensively, specifically against a run?
It wasn't so much that they had the runs, that some of those runs were touchdown runs. You know, they're hitting from 12 yards out and going in all the way. I think that one Tate run a hit from almost 20 that was a touchdown. So
sure.
There was some
lack of poor tackling in space, too.
Tackling and gap fits. There was a lot of just simple gap integrity, guys that need to win and be reliably in the place they're supposed to be.
How do you generate more pass pressure? Is it bringing secondary personnel, or is it just Turner, Chandler, Jones loose more? Just instead of lining them up on one side and saying, go do it, kid. Maybe let him flex out a little bit.
Well, I think what you do first is say, can we get there with our front four? And then if we can't get there with our front four consistently, then you have to say, okay, can we bring a second-level guy, whether that's a linebacker, maybe just where we're still rushing five, but one of those linebackers we're rushing is starting from off the ball and maybe hitting a gap. And then if we can't do that, do we have to bring an extra guy, which ultimately is a blitz where we bring more than they can block?
These conversations always peek up in the media when the Patriots start playing more zone defense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we don't talk about this when they play more man because you don't notice it as much. You know, if you don't get there with four and there's people like Andre Johnson crossing multiple underneath coverages and ending up on the other side
against zone, yes, if you have all day to throw.
Exactly. So, but you know what? They get pretty good four-man pressure relative to the rest of the league when they stay in man. If they make this decision to play soft zones, that's tough. You need to be elite with the front four. I think this is more an indication of what's going on from a health standpoint in the back end. I think they've gone to a more conservative approach back there, which puts you much more stress on the front guys.
Starting to get some separation in the playoff picture where New England and Denver seem to be separating here. Which of the AFC teams do you fear the most? Start with you, Matt.
Baltimore.
I'm with you.
But you know what? It's
I don't want to see him. I'm nervous at the end of December here.
It's one of those situations where
they don't fear you.
You want to see them cut up into pieces and buried in corners. Yeah. I mean, until they're dead and not eligible,
I would agree with you. Baltimore, they're like Pittsburgh. And granted, Pittsburgh's having a down year. But those are the two teams that I feel like, okay, you do not want to see these teams. Because, you know, you look at their quarterbacks, they can get hot. You know, are they the greatest quarterbacks? You know, that's another argument for another day. But they can get hot. Defensively, they can play very well defensively. They can run the football. You look at a team like Denver, all right, we know they have Peyton Manning. We know he struggles a little bit when the weather gets cold. But defensively, they're not the same as Baltimore. They're not the same as Pittsburgh. And I would say Baltimore is definitely one of those
teams. There's nothing scary about Baltimore. It's just the intangibles that you worry about that matter in January.
Yeah, it's in the head. All right, guys, good stuff. No shocker here. 12, 13 weeks into it, we're still talking about officiating. Plus, a head coach makes a major blunder. That and more when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam, celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
The Putnam Player Spotlight this week is on James Devlin. The 6'3", 255-pounder had one of the year's most memorable plays against the Texans. After trying to leap into the end zone, the fullback's dogged determination and never-give-up resolve resulted in the first touchdown of his NFL career. Not bad for a guy who played defensive end and never play on offense at Brown University. This Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Pursuing performance excellence for 75 years.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And guys, Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, unless you live under a rock, against the Baltimore Ravens last week in a nationally televised game, Jacoby Jones breaks it to the left, coming down the Steelers sideline. Mike Tomlin goes out of his way to step almost right on the edge of where the field of play is to just get Jones to turn inside and allow the Steelers to get him on that kick return. I think it was one of the most egregious things I've ever seen. And I really respect Mike Tomlin. I think he's a good coach. Have you ever seen anything like this? You being a special teams guy.
I mean, it's field of play.
Did you buy the sell job he was trying to give the media this week?
You know, you get a little wink.
Yeah, mesmerized by the jumbotron.
That's the funny part. Did you buy the whole jumbotron part? Where
I watched
kickoff and kickoff coverage on the jumbotron to get a better look. Who stands right next to the sidelines with their back towards the play?
Right.
That's the scary part.
Isn't there a jumbotron at both ends? Am I wrong there?
There is.
Yeah.
Okay, so then why? I picked the – well, here's the other
one. What is his reaction after where he turns, smiles, and kind of gives the wink, wink, I got you?
I think the biggest issue is here is it's field of play. I mean, we know that the Salassie Jets tripping thing was
an
old deal.
Where's the flag at then? I mean, we have
– that's
second
a great
level
point.
Pushing where the memo came out. We got the flag against the Jets.
But
no flag there.
But at least in the Jets thing was the last time we had the sort of special teams thing. That was happening inside the box, off the thick white line, into the sideline here. This is on the field of play.
I've seen guys get run on the sideline, but your back's
but you can't enter the field of play.
The reason why I don't think there was a flag on the play, because if you go back and look
at it, Blakeman was on the game, cleat mode.
Well, Tomlin, his back is towards the play, and the official, the side judge, the official, he has enough room. He's just running down following the play. He kind of like doesn't even realize Tomlin's there because he runs right by him, and so that's probably why there's really no flag on the play.
Interesting comment this week by Bill Belichick in one of his conference calls. Talked about officiating and how, you know, here we go to review again. And Bill said, you know what, everything should be reviewable, even penalties. Matt, do you believe that? Or would that slow the pace of the game down?
No, of course. I mean, you get your two. Why can't it be anything?
Like Edelman got hit on a kick return where he got interfered with and there was no flag.
That was one of the more egregious. I mean, 70,000 people or maybe half that.
I said on the broadcast, I said, where's the flag?
Everyone, like, he just ran into him. I mean, like, it's crazy. But the question here is that they've made plays that they say aren't reviewable because they're subjective. They're a judgment call. It's all judgment calls. If the ball goes through the uprights, which are too short, that's a judgment call. If the ball crosses the goal line, that's a judgment call. Everything's a judgment call. So making some that are and aren't makes zero sense.
And I've said this before. I think everything should be reviewed, especially those plays that you see, those personal fouls. We talked about the Drew Brees and the Ahmad Brooks. I think that's a play that there should be somebody upstairs, an official that's upstairs, that once they've seen it slowed down, they're able to kind of chime down and say, hey, listen, after looking at this, if you slow down, he didn't hit the guy in the helmet, or it wasn't a helmet-to-helmet call. Contact. There should be a guy upstairs that can just call down and say, that's not a penalty, pick it up, because plays like that can determine the outcome of the game.
All right, guys, good stuff right there. Coming up next, we got to talk about the Cleveland Browns. That's next when Patriots This Week continues. All right, no shocker here. Josh Gordon is the player we're going to be highlighting because I think he's the only superstar that they have. Right here at the top of your screen, what he's going to do, come down, little double move, and then the go. Now, this is a simple route to defend because there really isn't that much of a fake. I don't think he sold it that well, but he has great speed. That's why he separates. Then he does this stuff. I mean, Randy Moss used to do that. Come on. Cash money. Freeze it right there. Well, we got free high safety here. Natural pick play. In and out. And what Josh Gordon is going to do, slip down the boundary. Go ahead and roll the tape. Patriots could defend this by putting two high safeties up. Never have that single high free safety. And watch this throw. This is one great throw by Whedon. Puts it out there on the money. And then you see the breakaway speed. And then we're really going to find out why the Jacksonville Jaguars are trying to get the number one pick. Freeze it right there. Okay, you got two high safeties. Josh Gordon's right here. He's going to come down, run a little in cut. But go ahead and roll the tape. You see the backers right here start to get good depth. Freeze it. What happens? You got two guys coming up on one. Here's your most dynamic player. Go ahead and roll the tape. Sticks it on him, but right here, you got an angle on him, and then here goes Josh Gordon. This is probably what I should call him, Flash Gordon. So, you take Devin McCourty, you take Steve Gregory, put him up top, play cover two all day long, eliminate the big play. That's how you beat him. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week here, again, inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. And I say also again because here come the Cleveland Browns. You know, I don't want to be hanging traps or mouse traps everywhere. But is this a trap game, guys, at 4-8? I mean, Brian Hoyer gets knocked out. He had a little bit of mojo working, tears his ACL. Brandon Whedon, he's probably going to be ruled out because of concussion symptoms. Jason Campbell out. They pick up Caleb Haney this week. They sign a guy off the Cowboys practice squad in Alex Tanney. Are they going to come in here and have a chance to pop New England?
This is a got-to-get-up-and-go game.
Houston was more the trap.
Yeah, but even Houston's a got-to-get-up-and-go game. You look at teams that you're going to have to play, that their records are not going to be good. They could be potentially looking at the end of the season and ready to just pack up those U-Haul and goals. So I look at this. Are you going to come out and go out there and play? That's the thing that I'm going to look at. Are you going to determine and the pace, the tempo of the game, how you're going to start the game? That's what it's all about. It shouldn't matter who you're playing. It's got to be about how you play and how you determine you want to play against these teams.
So here's the deal with this team. They have, when you've not been good for so many years, you get high draft picks. And when I look at that this Cleveland Browns defense, it actually reminds me a lot of the Jets defense. I think this is a week to not overlook these guys because there's so much investment on that side. Phil Taylor is a great nose. DeQuell Jackson is an 06 first-round draft pick. Joe Hayden, they got this kid. I can't say his first name. His last name's Mingo. He's like this super athletic kind of pass-rushing guy. They've got talent. This another example is the Raiders of years past, where they just keep compiling guys with great measurables. So they're dangerous in that regard. What's going on the offensive side of the ball, I don't know. But you guys know me. I say this all the time. I don't believe in, you know, I don't believe in Teletubbies, the Leprechauns.
I believe in Teletubbies.
Unicorns,
Tinky
all
Winky,
this stuff.
Tinky Winky they is don't not exi- my favorite. I like Poe.
They don't exist. Neither does the
Bigfoot,
trap
Bigfoot. I believe in the aliens. Yeah, I believe in all that stuff.
Well, then maybe that's why you believe in trap games. But there's no such thing as a trap.
But Matt, let me ask
there's
you a
football game.
But let me. Okay. Can I ask you a simple question?
Go ahead, Wiggy.
If the Patriots come out and play their A game, do they beat this team?
Yes.
No problem.
What do they have? They have Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon, 6'3", 225 pound receiver.
Big,
strong receiver. Now, if Alphonso Dennard is not going in this game, this can be problematic if Kyle Harrington's on the outside matched up with Gordon.
Well, when you do man, you can take someone away, and it's tough to take someone off the board in zone coverage because obviously they're zone beaters. There's going to be holes, and if they can find it, you're in trouble. The thing to watch for in this game with Josh Gordon is when they use him. I think it's really important. He's had a lot of his big plays, especially in last week where it was another 200-plus yard game, as drive starters. They'll go ahead and take a shot to start the series. He's had, you know, a 28-yard catch to start, a 42-yard catch to start series, or they'll get a big first down.
How do you get
reset,
Alex Tanney
and you get a shot?
If he's the guy and he's going to be pulling the trigger? How do you get
him? Well, see, that's the
you
big.
You just tell him that's, we got to force the ball to Gordon.
I think Jason Campbell's another one to keep your eye on because he's been down with a concussion and there's a very good chance he'll be back. He's been cleared for practice.
See, I think one of those top two are going to be cleared.
Somebody and Campbell can sling it, so I think that you got to keep an eye on those. But I think it's a week where you really have to mitigate the big plays.
But knowing Bill, what's he going to do? Knowing that Gordon can kill you, what's he going to do? He's going to say, don't give up the big play. We don't give up the big play, we win this football game. Right. But if we give up the big play, we'll lose this football game because of his explosion and his ability to make those big plays.
All right, guys, good stuff. Coming up next, our predictions and our game changer. That's right, we got to get some scores. Wonder who Wiggy's going to pick. That more when Patriots This Week continues.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam. Celebrating 75 years of service to financial advisors, their clients, and institutions worldwide. Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Ryan Lowe with the Fantasy Lowdown in what for many leagues is the last week of the regular season. Bet on a huge week for Carson Palmer. The Cardinals QB is red hot and has at least two TDs in five straight games. A big performance ahead against St. Louis. The arrow is pointing down for Redskins running back Alfred Morris, coming off a season-low 11 carries and coming into a matchup against Kansas City. A great sleeper candidate, Titans rookie receiver Justin Hunter. He makes his catches count and he'll reach the end zone against Denver.
The Fantasy Lowdown is brought to you by Verizon. Stay connected to your Patriots at home and on the go with Fios Quantum Internet and NFL Mobile from Verizon. That's powerful.
Welcome back to Patriots This Week. Time for the money session where we're going to make you a ton of money out there. We're going to give you our score, our prediction, and our game changer. Start with Matt Chatham.
I think the score comes down a little bit this week because I think pretty highly of this Cleveland Browns defense. I'm going to go with Patriots 26-10. Ooh. I think it's going to be a nice, comfortable game, but the score's come down a bit. My game changer is going to be Edelman again. I think the guy is just simply getting into his groove, and he's their guy now.
Let's go to Jermaine Wiggins.
Yeah, I'm going to go score. It's going to be a little different than Matt. I say Patriots touches, scoring the 30s again. So I'm going to say 34-14. My game changer is on the defensive side of the football. I'm going with Devin McCourty.
All right, guys, good stuff. No shocker here. I'm picking the Pats, too. 33-20 over the Browns. They win by 13. My game changer, Chandler Jones. Got to free this kid up, get him about two more sacks in this game, and that's it. Pats win. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Patriots This Week. For Matt Chatham, for Jermaine Wiggins, we're glad you had a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for watching. See you next time on Patriots This Week.